Good morning and welcome back to Tuesday FLX Morning at 8:37. It's a Tuesday. I have a sneaking suspicion it's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chad.
And today we're going to focus in on nursing, both from the performing side and from the educational training side.
We are, and it is May, and we were just talking about this. May is Nurses Month right now. We're just coming off of Nurses Week. Our nurses, we have shared governance councils that created lots of celebratory opportunities to recognize this very long-standing profession, but one that I think through this pandemic, people have become an exceptionally newly appreciative of, let's say. And so we're really thrilled today. We're also celebrating graduation this week, so I won't steal their thunder because we're going to talk a little bit about that. But our Finger Lakes Health College of Nursing is graduating this coming weekend. So May is a big day, a big time. Florence Nightingale's birthday, of course, is usually linked with Nurses Day. But a few years ago, they made it Nurses Year. Then there was another Nurses Year. Now we're back to sort of a month. And we're just coming off the week, so we have a lot to talk to you about. And it's I'm here today with Ardell Bigos, who is our chief nursing officer. Ardell's been with the organization about 5 years and brings experience from Maine, New Jersey. Her role is sort of, I think, clinically has been more in intensive care as well as other areas. But now she oversees all of nursing, our surgical services operations, a really expanded role within our health system. And then also I'm here with Kathy Mills, and Kathy's been with us before. And Kathy is the dean of the Finger Lakes Health College of Nursing and the dean of our Mary Nestle Allen School of Practical Nursing. So we're going to talk about LPN, RN, all the different roles, and everything nursing.
Well, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I'm going to start with you, Ardell, because I'm reading about you here on the Finger Lakes Health website, and every place you go, the nursing program gets really, really good.
Well, that's great. glad to hear that. Work very hard with the team. We have an excellent team at Finger Lakes Health, and as Laura said, you know, coming off of Nurses Week, we really want to recognize the nurses, and kudos to all of them through shared governance, which really puts everything in their hands to be able to implement practices and change what they think needs to be changed, but also to implement Nurses Week. They did a great job having fun sock day and making t-shirts for the nurses. And we had a basket raffle as well and raised a lot of money towards nursing so that we can support the nursing team. So really very proud of the whole entire group. It was a fun week.
I saw this term shared governance. Explain how that works.
So shared governance is exactly that. It's sharing between the leadership. So let's say from the top, instead of going from the top to the frontline staff, it starts with the frontline staff to the top. So they give us their feedback and input because they make the difference with the patients. That's what's most important. So we want to hear their ideas. We want to have their feedback and we want to implement what they think is going to be best for our patients in the community.
So you came from Maine Coast Memorial Hospital, Ellsworth, Maine. And when you were there, you got all the 5-star ratings and everything. What did you see as the challenge when you came to Finger Lakes Health?
I don't know if it's a challenge. I think just, you know, again, getting acclimated into the culture is always different. Each hospital always has a different culture. In Maine, it was a union environment as well, which is very different, but we were able to implement shared governance there, which is really exceptional for that team. So, but really, Finger Lakes Health is great. It's been a great team, very supportive, and I can't believe I've been here 5 years already. It's gone very fast.
What's the state of employment right now for nursing? I know there's a shortage of healthcare workers all across the country. Is it particularly difficult getting fully staffed in nursing these days?
It is. We are, I would say, probably close to fully staffed, but we have a lot of traveling nurses, and that's really where healthcare is across the country. During the pandemic, a lot of the nurses left the bedside for different reasons. They had opportunities for different jobs, which were remote, working from home, and also traveling. Everybody needed the nurses because of the exodus due to COVID, and now we're trying to acclimate and trying to get everybody back to the bedside. Actually, Dean Mills and I were just talking this morning. The new concept is virtual nursing, where you actually bring in computers and put a nurse on the other side of the computer rather at the bedside, and they do that discussion with the patients and they help groom students and other nurses through this virtual episode or at what they're doing with patient care. So it's interesting. That's how it's going.
It was very difficult for everyone in healthcare during the pandemic. Did people just leave the profession altogether from burnout, from just, I can't do this anymore, 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week? Did you see just people leaving the nursing profession in general?
Yes. Yeah, you definitely saw them just not going to traveling or remote, but they left the profession. Just a lot of stress, being very nervous about COVID before vaccines were out, and actually seeing the mortality rates. And not only that, the schools were closed. So somebody had to take care of their kids. They had no daycare, no school. So a lot of, you know, nursing's mostly female, had to leave to take care of their kids, and they just stayed there. And a lot are still homeschooling their kids, so they have not come back to the bedside.
We're going to talk to the education side in a moment with Kathy. What do you tell brand new nurses, maybe that they don't get in school, that they need to know to be effective when they start on this job?
I think it's just perseverance, right? Keeping an open mind, listening to those that have been in the field, learning from others. I really think that's it. And really just to take a breath every day and make sure they take care of themselves. That's the most important thing, so that we can prevent burnout and that they don't leave the bedside.
All right, Kathy Mills, step right up to that microphone. And let's talk about you a little bit and what got you into the educational side of nursing.
So I actually am an alumni of Mary Ness Whalen School of Practical Nursing, and then went on through my degrees, my RN degree, and have stayed right at Geneva because it's very close to home. I actually had a mentor that kept saying to me, come to education. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be an educator. And she's like, just come try it. And then, of course, I got in it and absolutely loved it.
Totally. So this is like playing, this is like coaching the team you played for. Did you ever think when you were a student at Mary Ness Whalen, someday I'll run the place?
Never. Never thought that. And I say to myself every day, how did I get in the chair?
But I think it emphasizes, too, how many roles there are for nurses. And I think we don't, I think especially at Phoenix Health, we have really a whole career ladder that has been built where people can try these things. It's sort of, I would call it, it's a safe environment, a supportive environment, where you can try different areas, whether you want to try a specialty area like the ED, whether you're interested in ICU, or whether this role of education, how it really provides. So I think when we think of a traditional nursing role of the past, that no longer exists. I think the role now is so expanded, and there are so many opportunities, which is also, I guess, what we're swimming up against in terms of acute care and physician practices and long-term care. I don't want to interrupt Kathy's story of her path. I just think it's important to emphasize that that is a perfect embodiment of how this path can really be expansive for people. And we want people to come back to realize all the roles that they can play within the health system.
Yeah. Nursing as a profession really can lend itself to, you can work a lot or you can work a little, and you can do right at the bedside in the ICU, or you can come out and work for insurance. So,
well, and talk about, we've talked about this in the past, that the Mary Ness Whalen School being hospital based, that's still fairly rare. I think there's three of them in New York State.
Yep.
And just talk about the real world access that gives your students. It's one thing to study something in a book. It's another thing to stand there and see it.
Totally. So our students actually make a connection with the staff on the floor, because our faculty are also considered staff of the hospital. So then we can actually walk the walk with them. We also do an extensive amount of clinical time, so we're right there at the bedside day in, day out.
Do you think that's partly why your students do so well? I'm looking at another article at flhealth.org. A national organization did a check of people's performance on the licensing exam, and Mary Ness Whalen students are among the best.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We hold that record quite high.
And many people don't realize that really when you're thinking maybe even about a career change, we talk about how many people are transitioning and changing and moving roles. An LPN program through us, within 10 months, you can really change your life and identify, perhaps you've had this calling all along, but really, you dabbled in something else, you got used to sort of earning a paycheck somewhere. You're not having to stop out for a four-year program. This is, within 10 months, you can identify this program, apply, and then within 10 months, be sitting for your exam, and then practicing. And from there, obviously, people have built on from their LPN to their RN, et cetera, NP if they choose, et cetera. But I think what we want to emphasize too is this really is the kind of decision that you can make, and you can find a way. And we also have tuition assistance, we have support as you can perhaps work part-time and go to school. There's a lot of ways to make this work if people are out there listening and thinking, you know, this is a really noble profession, and I sort of maybe they worry that they missed the boat back in the past when they chose a different path, or maybe they're newly coming to make a decision about, you know, how do they want their life path to lay out.
Yeah. I know when I went on for Marianne Whalen, the reason I picked that school was that the courses that you take inside the LPN program also transfer over to the RN. So it's like a seamless transition from one step to the other, which made it way easier.
So let's talk about the Finger Lakes College of Nursing. How does that curriculum differ from Marianne Whalen School?
It just gives more advancement. So as you start as an LPN, that's like your beginning layer. And then in the RN program, the scope is a little different. So the focus in the second year is really about the scope and assessment.
With an older population, a lot of us are witnessing healthcare firsthand for our older parents and things. Is that leading people to get into the profession? I know some of the providers we talk to here sometimes, you know, somebody's in physical therapy because they rehabbed from an injury when they were younger. Are you seeing people who said, wow, I watched them care for my father or grandfather or grandmother, and now I want to be in the profession?
Yes, absolutely. Most of our student population are second career adults, and they're adult age. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to step forward for a second here again, Ardell, and let's just talk about, we've talked about LPN and RN. When we think of a nurse, there's sort of the traditional picture of the nurse going around on rounds with the doctor or taking care of the patient in the hospital. There are obviously a lot more things than that. Is there any sort of emerging field in nursing that really needs people right now, or how are the roles evolving?
I think everybody needs nurses. I think Dean Mills, again, Kathy spoke about just how many opportunities there are for nurses. Again, I think we're going to see more away from the bedside, doing more virtual nursing, which sometimes gets a little scary because it's going to take away from the bedside. So it's encouraging the new nurses to get the experience they need before they go into something like virtual nursing. There's a lot of opportunities for nurse practitioners, a lot of opportunities out there in the practices to be able to grow as a nurse practitioner. We see a lot of our critical care nurses going on to be nurse practitioners in both ICU and the ER. There's just so many. My daughter's a nurse and she wants to get into cosmetics, doing cosmetic nursing.
Wow.
Where, yeah, you do Botox and fillers. And so there's a lot of opportunities for nurses, a lot. But as you mentioned, as we age and our parents age, we need people at the bedside. We definitely need the caring people at the bedside. So that's where the challenges are going to be. And we're going to have to look at what we need to do differently in nursing, maybe going back to team nursing, bringing LPNs back into the acute side, looking at more techs, what techs can do. So I think that's what we all have the challenge and we have to put our thinking caps on.
With things like telehealth and virtual nursing, how do you maintain that contact that you used to get by holding the patient's hand?
That's the difficult part. Right now, we have something called MedSitter, which actually helps with patients who are high risk, and it's a person who sits on the other side of the camera. And right now, the feedback has been great because that person pops up and has a conversation. They don't have that touch, but they do have that interaction, and the patients and their family really like knowing that somebody's there and they can just tap on the screen and that person interacts with them. So it'll be interesting to see how the public really embraces virtual nursing.
Well, thank you both for what you do. I had my own experience when my wife was going through her breast cancer journey, and the nurses that we worked with were just absolute heroes. And you are too, both for training the next generation and then being the administrator and raising the quality level up as high as you have. Thanks to you both, and thanks for sharing the information. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
And Laura, thanks for bringing me great guests all the time.
Thank you, Tad.
Love doing it. All right, we get healthy with Finger Lakes Health at 8:50 now, FLX Morning.